Welcome to Unencrypted, a podcast that tells the story of technology, where it is going, where it came from, and how it affects you. I'm Lindsay Shooters, a technology reporter in South Africa, and I believe that this story is one of the human mind that conceives these innovations and the real-world problems they solve. Join me each week as we add another chapter to the ongoing tale of tech through the significant new product releases and engineering breakthroughs, in the words of industry leaders. And that journey begins now. But first,
here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talks.
Here comes the money.
Unencrypted is brought to you by Advert, the sports broadcast technology company that is democratizing advertising for Africa. Advert partners with global rights holders to secure virtual feeds coming into Africa. These feeds are centralized, enabling simpler access for brands and agencies. Brands active in Africa now have direct access to tens of millions of sports fans during the moments that matter most to them. And your campaigns can live on in the highlights packages after the final whistle. Do you want to get your brand in front of the continent's sports fans on the biggest global stage? Request a demo today at advert.com. That's ADDVIRTT.com. And find the best packages to increase your reach. I'm sitting in the middle of the desert, with enough sand in my shoes to make a year's supply of smartphone screen protectors. In a lull between hookah puffs and folk dances, one of my fellow safari tourists asks me why I'm in Dubai. Why am I here? HP, the PC manufacturer founded in 1935 by Stanford University graduates Bill Hewlett and David Packard, flew me and five other South African journalists out to attend the HP Amplify Executive Conference. Like most American hardware makers, the history finds its genesis inside a garage in California. A garage in Palo Alto, to be exact. Also adding HP to the litany of US tech giants birthed in the San Francisco Bay Area. Their first product is an audio oscillator, the HP200A, named with that code to give the illusion that Hewlett-Packard was an established company with vast product lines. Walt Disney buys 8 of them to test sound equipment during the production of Fantasia. The key differentiator between the HP200A and its competitors is the price. Hewlett and Packard were selling for under $100, half the industry standard price at the time. They could do this because Bill Hewlett's master's thesis unlocked the possibility to use a light bulb as a temperature-dependent resistance in the feedback network. HP is regarded as the founder of Silicon Valley, but only truly started making silicon semiconductors around the 1960s and specializing in business computing servers before landing on the godfather of the modern PC, the Hewlett-Packard 9100A. HP called it a desktop calculator, because it didn't want to infringe on IBM's patents. I know you probably consider the Apple I as the OG personal computer. Because all the Steve Jobs documentaries tell you so. And where do you think then HP employee Steve Wozniak got the idea from? He offered the design to his employers, and they declined. Despite passing on an industry-defining breakthrough, HP surged in popularity on the enterprise side. The market was so hungry for these advanced computers that HP was often caught in a scandal, like when it faced pressure from the international community for automating apartheid in South Africa. Channel partners who sell HP products all around the world have always been at the center of HP's success. And with the company consistently claiming the number 2 spot for PC shipments, playing second to Lenovo, that selling network is doing a great job. Channel revenue from half 1 2021 to half 1 2022 across 4 quarters was up $6 billion as of my conversations with the international team on Monday. But that was also in the quiet period before the earnings call for the quarter 3 2022. HP missed its sales targets with a 7% decline in PC, 20% drop in consumer PC sales, and a 6% plunge in the printer side of the business, with these results forcing the company to slash 20 US cents off its full-year shares earnings forecast, the share price fell 6% after the markets closed. Analysts say that everyone who wanted or needed a new computer and printer bought one during the pandemic. And HP says back-to-school shopping has started strong. But the loudest whispers among the channel partner network were of big concern around supply chains. Executives were in a quiet period and couldn't comment on my questions about how much money was left on the table because of supply chain constraints. But the emphasis on it during the keynote addresses showed that something was up. I was forced to upgrade my iPad mini at the beginning of 2022 because I smashed my iPad mini 5 screen in a Formula 1-related incident towards the tail end of the 2021 season. Every outlet in South Africa was out of stock of the iPad mini 6 and had a 6 to 8 week projection on resupply. They missed that constantly. I ended up buying one of the only two models left in the country, and they were the ludicrously expensive 256GB cellular shopkeeping units. If you go back to October 2019, Intel CEO Bob Swan was already the canary in the chip shortage coal mine. At the time, he used Intel supply problems as the major driver of the surge in AMD popularity, going on to caution investors of a slowdown that would stretch into 2020. The chipmaker had at that stage already thrown $30 billion at the problem to increase manufacturing, and then the world was introduced to the coronavirus pandemic. While labor shortages were beginning to become a challenge in manufacturing, workers not being able to leave their homes quickly turned it into a nightmare. No mine workers meant no raw materials. No truck drivers meant no distribution. Design teams needed to adjust to the new remote work reality. The list goes on. And thus, the crisis was born at every level of the value chain. The only silver lining in this dark cloud is that prices rise as demand outstrips supply. For poor suckers like me, were forced to spend 5,000 Rand more for the top SKU instead of cheaping out for the entry-level device. But HP has been here before. In 2012, it was an earthquake in Japan. In 1988, there was a spike in demand as personal computing and gaming gained popularity. In 1994, there was a breakthrough in manufacturing that required an industry-wide facilities overhaul to accommodate the tighter tolerances and improve yield. Ernest Nicholas is the new chief supply chain officer tasked with turning this weakness into a competitive differentiator. He is attacking the problem with artificial intelligence to bring a deeper level of visibility into the full value chain. He also comes from the automobile industry and has been seeing the warning signs for a while.
With regards to myself, I just joined from Rockwell Automation, where I was chief supply chain officer. I was there for 16 years. In those 16 years, I worked throughout their integrated supply chain organization in all functions across the supply chain, planning, sourcing, manufacturing, as well as logistics, customer service, quality. Before that, I spent 9 years at General Motors. And at General Motors, I worked across three divisions, their locomotive group, vehicle assembly, as well as their powertrain division. Through all of it, everything I've done thus far has been in supply chain. You know, I've shared with Luciana and my peers very openly. I fashion myself as a supply chain professional. They laugh about that sometimes when I think through just some of the challenges over the last couple years. But I enjoy working in the supply chain. And that's a lot of the reason why I came here. When I heard the story of HP, I mean, I obviously knew it was an iconic brand. I've known that for a while. Everyone knows it's an iconic brand. But when I heard from my peers through the interview process about where HP is and where HP wants to go, and you just heard Luciana talk about wanting to have supply chain as a weapon to become a competitive advantage, that was intriguing. I wanted to lead that. I want to lead that. I want to see this company shoot in front of our competitors from a supply chain perspective. These last couple years have been the most challenging supply chain environment that any of us will see across our careers. And as a result of that, you've just got to think about where and how we need to position moving forward. But if you take a step back and think about a couple years prior to the pandemic, there were lots of macroeconomic challenges. We were already starting to see component shortages, labor shortages, protectionism, trade wars. It was forcing us to think differently. to step away from this thought of the lean supply chain that's just always focused on cost optimization, pulling as much cost, as much inventory out. And it's telling us to think differently. Now with the pandemic, resiliency is the key. And resiliency is where all of us have to shift now. How do we mitigate against potential points of failure? And when I say mitigate, think about resiliency as insurance. How much insurance do you want? There is a balance. What has impressed me so far with HP, as I've joined, is watching how they've taken on resiliency, and watching how this organization had already taken it on. Through efforts of assurance of supply, trying to be certain we have components available, there were efforts already ongoing about network optimization. And for those who aren't familiar with network optimization, it's really thinking about our footprint. Where do we have distribution centers? Where do we have manufacturing? Where are our suppliers positioned? All of that, again, was already in process, as you've heard from both Alex and Tuan. I think what I must add to that, though, from a supplier perspective, that I was very impressed with was trying to shift away from single-source suppliers to multi-source situations. And with that, those multi-source situations, looking at redesign and thinking about how redesign can be more beneficial for the organization. As I mentioned, resiliency and mitigating as points of failure, that's more defensive, it's more reactive. There is also supply chain agility, which you heard Alex discuss. I look at supply chain agility as more of the offense. And when you start to think about how can I strategically move forward to have the right service, the right quality, irrespective of what's happening in the macroeconomic environment, how do we also think about that based on the strategy that we've laid out as an HP leadership team? All that comes into play and I think is very important for us as we move forward as an organization. Again, when we talk about HP and what HP's already done, you mentioned the move to S4, the SAP, moving to a single instance. What that enables in terms of visibility that wasn't capable, what we weren't capable of before, is truly layering on capabilities. And I think when you look at the supply chain digital transformation and what's capable from a visibility perspective, that becomes important in us thinking about how we become more predictable. To your point, we're not as predictable as we'd like to be. Our lead times are longer, we've unraveled them through the pandemic. We've got to get more consistency. As we look at these tools that we're laying on right now, that is the intent, to be more predictable, to shorten our lead times, but still have the resiliency that we discussed earlier.
HP is investing in new products, like the second generation LaserJet ink tank printer, called LaserTank, an industry-first solution that brings the economic benefits of ink tanks to small business. HP redesigned the ink to reduce clogging and improve print fidelity, but its competitors may still have an advantage in black pigment quality. Then there's the Dragonfly Folio G3 that flips and swivels the screen around from a very good laptop / Ultrabook, but don't call it Ultrabook because they're Intel Evos now, into a Windows tablet, or you can just have the screen in a stand mode with the trackpad. Finally, HP is also betting big on making you show up better in video calls. Its acquisition of Poly is almost complete, and that with improved webcam hardware and microphones with associated enhancement algorithms packaged as the HP Presence Suite. The new 34-inch all-in-one PC comes with two cameras that you can pivot to get a multicam upgrade for your video presentations. Whether these new devices are enough to stimulate demand remains to be seen, especially when HP execs were on stage making claims that printing more pages on HP printers is good for the environment, and buying HP hardware is also helping the world get to carbon neutral. But that's a story for another day. I'm Lindsay Shooters, this is Unencrypted, and I'll talk to you next time.